Yeah, so I was telling Heather it's already been 2 years. And yes, and so any member can only serve 2 consecutive years. They can serve after that, additional ones after that, but there needs to be a year space in between. So Heather is out for the for the chair position. She can always be a vice chair, but if there's any nominations for chair.
Did you speak to anyone ahead of time that is willing to do it?
I
did not.
I reached out to I think James, but
that's who I was just gonna ask. I was gonna nominate James.
he declined though.
No.
Yep.
I'm
going to
decline.
Okay.
Otherwise, Penny, you are also you're a board member, but you're also eligible to be the chair, as well as everyone else here except.
I don't like the idea.
Okay. You are. Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you would not accept that offer.
I would not accept that offer. With James there.
Trevor, if nobody else is interested, I'll do it.
All right.
I would nominate Michael.
All right.
Our newest member. I will second that.
That was pretty easy.
That was very easy.
This is going.
Thank you.
So, do you want me to go from here? Or Heather going to continue?
I don't know, Trevor. How does that go?
It is effective immediately, yes.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the third item on the agenda is the election of the vice chair. So, do we have any nominations for vice chair?
I would like to nominate Heather.
Okay, we have a nomination for Heather. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So, James, you seconded it? Okay, so we have a motion to have Heather as the vice chair. And we have a second. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. Congratulations, Heather.
Thank you.
Got it again. Okay, so everybody should have gotten an agenda, and so I guess the first question, is there any need to modify or change the agenda? Otherwise, we need a motion to adopt it.
I'll make a motion to adopt.
I second.
Okay, Heather, Penny? All right.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, number 5, minutes of the April 27th meeting. When I got this, I had to look at it because I'm like, that's April? What happened at the Plan Commission? So,
yeah, it's been a while.
We've only had 2 meetings this whole year so far. I think this is our third one.
It's crazy.
Okay, so we have the minutes from the April 27th meeting. So we probably should have a motion to approve those or accept them. I'm not exactly sure what you do.
Approve.
All right, so approve those minutes. We have a motion to approve them.
Motion to approve. This is Matt.
Matthew, okay. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Okay, Penny. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any changes or modifications that have to be made? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. All right. Trevor, I assume that you probably, if anybody's going to have an announcement, you're going to be the one.
Well, I typically put the new members on the spot for their first meeting and just have them introduce themselves, maybe just give a quick summary of who you are or what you do or why you're interested in the committee. So, Michael and Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, you want to... I see she's on mute. Well, while she's trying to figure it out...
Oh, all right. I can do that easily. Okay, I'm Elizabeth Cody. I live on Pastured Court. I've been in Alloway now for 4 years. I served on the Plan Use Commission up in the Stiles for many, many years before moving here. So that was the reason I was interested in being on the Planning Commission here. Other than that, I'll turn it over to the next person.
Okay, thanks, Elizabeth. Well, that's me. My last name's pronounced Lefebvre. I always kiddingly say it's like Favre, but with a lot less money. I live on Langlade Court, over near Langlade School, in one of the condos. I was born and raised in Alloway, so if you kind of add up all the years, I've got a lot of years living in Alloway, but for a period of time I lived in Bellevue. I'm a professional engineer. Actually, I won't be a professional engineer shortly because my license needs to be renewed. I manage the firm of Grave in Green Bay. It's an engineering firm, and I believe they might have done some work for Alloway in the past. My experience, I haven't been on any of the boards or committees for Alloway. I am on the Board of Appeals also. But I was on a Brown County Plan Commission for a number of years, and I was actually president of the Brown County Plan Commission. So I kind of enjoyed the planning side of things, and that's basically where I'm at. I lived on Alloway Avenue for corner of Alloway and Oakwood for a lot of years. That's my parents' home. So that's what I'm about. Okay, Trevor, any other news?
None that we're not going to cover, so.
Okay, so we'll move from number 6 to number 7, public appearances, or do we have any? Would they be probably signed on, Trevor, I would assume?
They would be, yes.
Okay, so I don't see anybody on my screen, so I assume we'll just move on from number 7. Number 8, the action to repeal and recreate Chapter 475 of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code, also referred to as the Zoning Code and Map. I think everybody probably has seen this probably more than I have, pretty lengthy, but I'll turn it over to Trevor at this point.
Yeah, so I think everyone that was in attendance at the January meeting heard the summary from our consultants. There were a few changes, but not many, from that January meeting that were incorporated into this draft that was put together in April. And the intent was then to adopt it in May, but because of COVID and everything, we decided to hold off so that the hope would be to adopt it when we're meeting in person and we'd have a little bit more ability to discuss it openly. However, it seems like we might be waiting for a little bit. So we decided to proceed. And I will share my screen so we can go over it. All right, does everyone see the zoning code here?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I put together in the memo some of the key changes in the categories, and I think I'm just going to go through those right now. And for many of you, this might be just a review, but please bear with me. Let me know, stop me if you have any questions. Happy to answer them. All right, so for the first one, the first kind of big change that was made was to the ordinance structure. And so that really includes page 10 here as an example. Of how it was structured. So they incorporated all these tables and graphs, whereas before it was just text. So it made it challenging for someone not familiar with the code to kind of understand what the real regulations are. So here you can easily see, if you're a resident, you can come here, look at, okay, my home is zoned R1 with a 75-foot setback, or R1 with a 50-foot frontage, or R1 50 or R2, and you can see then what your front yard setback is, or different things like that. A lot of the setbacks stayed the same in this code. Actually, a lot of the residential stuff stayed the same. Bulk of the changes were, again, in the structure, but then also in the commercial uses and design and that sort of thing. I'm going to jump over to page 22 real quick. It's another example of some of the charts, and this is a more commercial district. So this MX1 is our main mixed-use district. So this would be what we have identified and planned for the areas of Webster and St. Joseph. MX2 is a little bit more, it's a little less dense mixed use. And so, again, you can see the setbacks and everything that's required, as well as a siting plan and how things should be situated on a site in an ideal scenario. Go over the district map. So again, for the most part, all the residential uses remain the same. If they were B residential, they stayed zoned for that, which is our R2. So that'd be our duplexes. With the exception of some of these smaller lots on the north end of the village, in other areas where they have less than the 75-foot required frontage, which is required by our typical or our current existing code. So because that poses, or that makes a lot of homes, especially the older homes, then in the existing non-conforming use category, we allowed a district for R150, which would incorporate all those smaller lots. And then most of the village remain R175. Some of the other newer districts, again, are anything with X is a mixed use. So, again, mixed use commercial, that's our most intense mixed use. Then there's a little less intense one, and then it kind of goes down grade here. If there's an R after it, that means that it's river frontage. So what the consultants did for that was design requirements to fit a lot that would look nice from the trail and the river, but also Riverside Drive. NX is pretty much your typical multifamily district. And then these are created districts. P1, PI1, and PI2, basically public or governmental use, institutional use. So before we didn't have an institutional use zoning district. If you were a church or something like that, or a cemetery, you were zoned A residential. Which then kind of poses some conflicts as far as building, siting, and that sort of thing. And then all our government buildings were zoned village-owned, except if you're a school or something. So this we really just kind of categorized everyone according to what their actual use was. So again, here's the entire village map.
Trevor, this mic, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this in GIS?
It is not in GIS yet. We are working with a consultant actually currently to move over a lot of our information, not just zoning information, but other information into GIS format.
Is this linked to the lots at all digitally or not?
No. Okay. Not currently.
So that, it's all part of the GIS plan?
Yes. Currently, if you go to like Brown Dog, which is the county's website, you click on it and you look at what the use classification is, they'll show what the assessor uses as use classification, not the actual zoning classification. I think, and two, like, maybe someone do this if I'm just getting too far into the weeds or something like that. Some of the use changes, again, a lot of them stayed the same. We did get rid of PDDs. In their place, we allowed for greater flexibility in some areas. We also clarified the conditional use process. So in Wisconsin in 2017, Act 67 kind of made the conditional use process really uncertain and unclear as far as the authority municipalities had in creating a conditional use or approving a conditional use. So the consultants took that into consideration and just kind of developed language that was really specific and allowed us to keep that that tool in the tool house, I guess. Parking.
There is going to be no PDD at all.
That's correct.
I know we probably spoke of it, but it's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's in their place. Like, so again, I mentioned we have greater flexibility, and I'll kind of go through that a little bit in a little bit. But they also created an overlay district. And so this would be for properties that are more large scale. So I think it's anything over 2 or 3 acres. So it wouldn't really apply to many properties in the village, but it would allow some of that flexibility in this process, but also lays out how the streets should be laid out. So this would be looking at a brand new big development versus an infill development site, redevelopment site.
Trevor, like the reason that, like one of the main reasons we, you know, I guess won't be doing PDDs anymore is because the new zone code is more flexible.
Right.
With uses like mixed use, right? Like that's.
Right. Exactly.
Pretty much the reason. Okay.
Yes. And before I forget, Heather and Penny sat in on some of the initial listening sessions. They were kind of the citizen members that we had, as well as a couple other community members. So if you guys have any, I know that was quite some time ago. That was last year, I believe.
Seems a long time ago, yeah.
But if,
it feels like a lifetime ago.
I had a different name then.
Again, like Heather said, we did create a lot more flexibility, and then getting rid of the PDD process also helped streamline things, and provide certainty because we specified more what our goals and intentions are in the code versus before they were kind of vague. And then we would utilize the PDD as a tool to meet those goals when now they're all identified, so we don't need to use that tool anymore. Let's see. Parking on page 84. So really, we've had this discussion for a couple years when different developments come forward. Our parking requirements were set in the 1970s when the code was written and didn't accurately reflect what the needs are, what the market needs are today. They were also a lot larger parking stalls that were required because vehicles were a lot larger back in the day. They are, you know, people still drive trucks and that sort of thing, but we really kind of put it in this code. We really kind of put it back onto the developer or the business to determine what their needs are and how big of stalls they would like to have. Now, we still have minimums, but we just relax those minimums a little bit. So one of the things is like for multifamily. We used to have two per unit. And what you're seeing now is the trend for apartments being built is a lot of them are one bedroom or studios or that sort of thing. And so now you're required for 1.25 stalls per unit. Unless it's two or more bedrooms, then you're required 1.5, essentially. Now, again, the developer building a multifamily development could still have more than that, but this way we're not tying up space for parking that's not needed.
When we also used to require one covered, right?
Yes. Yes, and we right, we did get rid of that. The consultant also included standards for bicycle parking in our parking ordinance. So before we just asked in every development to have some sort of bike parking. Now this one looks at specifically what the need should be. So this is a little bit more specific. But it really takes into consideration what the use is, too. So, let's see. 91. So I mentioned earlier the stall sizes and drive lanes. So right now we have our parking stall sizes are 10 by 20 across the board. In state code, I think the minimum is maybe 8 by 18 or something like that. But the standard is around 9 by 18. So they did include reduced stall widths here in this chart. And they were pretty aggressive with it, but again, kind of had the discussion that at different planning commission meetings in the past of allowing the market to kind of dictate what should go there. Still have a minimum so that you don't have just no parking at all, but really kind of following what the trend is. So for Alloway, our current standard is 10 by 20, like I said, but I believe every other community around here has 9 by 18 or less. And so then it always is kind of a battle and some confusion as to why we require that. And as you recall, a couple years ago, we amended our zoning code, our existing zoning code, to kind of get an exception for parking stall sizes through plan commission, village board. Now this would just kind of eliminate that process. Um, administration and procedures. We got rid of the PDD, which should streamline things, but they also really did a good job in identifying what the different procedures are right ahead of time in one of these tables. Now, it explains everything in greater detail in text, but this kind of allows a resident or a developer to take a quick look here and see what's required of them. And then they can go on from here. So, like, for zoning map amendments, statutorily, I think Planning Commission has to make the recommendation and the Village Board has to approve it. So, R stands for review, and DM stands for final decision-making authority. So, development plans, conditional uses, those all still go through the normal process we have today. The site plan review, if it's something minor, in this code we have the ability for staff just to approve it. And I'm thinking something minor like a small addition or something like that to a building. If it's anything greater than that, or if staff believes that it should be reviewed by the Planning Commission because it's kind of borderline or something like that, then the site plan review is reviewed and by the staff and decided on by the Planning Commission. So those are, again, just streamlining it, because before it had to go through everything, even a small addition had to go Planning Commission then Village Board. Now this would allow, as long as they're following what the code requires, it would allow them to go through either staff approval or get approved right at Planning Commission. Now if they want to go change what is spelled out in the zoning code, so say they wanted a different building material or something like that, they just goes against what the code says, they're able to go through, or they will need to go through Planning Commission and Village Board for that. Administrative design exceptions are smaller. So, like, if they need a foot change or something like that, really small things like that, and those are all identified in here and spelled out in here. But those are just examples. So, really small ones like that could be approved by staff. They also develop some flowcharts in here for each one so that it's really clear and easy to see. If I'm amending a text amendment, you know, I have to do these certain things. If I want a zoning map amendment, I have to have a neighborhood meeting and spell out at the public hearing what I did as a developer, to notify the residents and have that communication with the residents ahead of time. So that way, when we get to the public hearing, it's not residents hearing it for the first time. They're not up in arms. They might still be against the project, but at least they're not hearing it for the first time. And they don't feel under the gun to kind of, this is their one and only chance to be heard type thing. Nonconformities were also addressed in here. But basically, just as I mentioned early on, it was just identifying the different lot sizes that exist now and really identifying what different types of nonconformities there are and giving different considerations to each. Before, we just had a nonconforming section and that was it. So a nonconforming lot might differ from a non-conforming sign as far as like damage and that sort of thing, being able to replace it. Uh, sustainability, and a couple years ago we had UWC Grant come in and give us a presentation on green code, so that was something that we looked at incorporating into our zoning code. So the consultant has language in here encouraging better design, more eco-friendly design, better laid out landscaping, and allowing community gardens easier and that sort of thing. So,
Trevor, this is Matt. Mm-hmm. Are there any incentives for green design, such as like stormwater runoff, as far as a credit for
like density or something?
Design? Yeah.
They did not include that. That was discussed, but honestly, it was something that wasn't said no to, but it just never made it beyond discussion.
So it's more just recommendations, right?
Right.
Okay.
Housing. Let's see. I'll go all the way back up to the top. Housing, again, most of the residential districts stayed the same. However, we did incorporate a newer concept. I mean, it's a newer, older concept, but ADUs, which is accessory dwelling units, or as we call it in our code, backyard cottages. So this would allow a home to construct like a granny flat or a pool house or something like that behind their home. There is still, I will be open about that, there is still concern from staff on enforcement and these turning into absentee landlord, you know, homes and that sort of thing. The consultant took those concerns into consideration and included things like the facade materials needed to match what the existing home is. They think they can only have a maximum of 900 square foot dwelling. The owner needs to occupy one of the two units. Different considerations like that that would hopefully prevent something like that absentee landlords from occurring. We even included this isn't required or allowed by right. You do need to have a conditional use permit through it. So that, again, allows another layer of review and consideration. It also, through conditional use, there would be a public hearing, so the residents, the neighbors, would be notified and that sort of thing. So, it is a newer concept to this area. I mean, it was something that was practiced way back in the day, in the early 1900s, kind of shifted away from it, but the intent of this is to address a couple of concerns. One, the affordable housing. So this would allow either residents to age in place or to have, you know, family members come live with them or that sort of thing. Admittedly, it will allow for like Airbnbs or the short-term rentals, because in Wisconsin we don't have the ability to restrict the length of stay on rentals. But if they do become a Airbnb type thing, again, the owner still has to live in one of the two premises, and they will need inspection through the Brown County Health Department. I think those are the couple concerns that it was aiming to address. But
so, Trevor, in regards to that, mm-hmm. how do you manage that in the sale of a property? I mean, is that something that's
made known during the title process that an owner would have to be present? I'm just thinking of the situations where you may have a purchaser of a property that may or may not be aware of the code requirement for that.
Mm-hmm.
Purchases the property with the intent of renting out both structures. Is there any way to monitor that process?
It will be challenging. We did include a section here for a deed restriction. So prior to the issuing of a permit, they need to have a... it will probably happen. The title company should pick up on that, but you never know. Maybe it's a cash deal or something like that, but...
So, again...
Staff is kind of split on this, whether or not to allow it or not. I understand where the concern is. I also think, at least in the near term, like near term meaning 20 years, you won't have absentee landlords only because construction costs to build something like this will be so great that yeah, they might rent it out, but you're going to have to rent it out for a good amount to make your money back. Because new laterals and foundations and all that other stuff that, you know, it's going to be quite pricey. But not to say that there will never be any issues, but...
I think the deed restriction helps, though. Like you said, the title company should pick up on that.
Yeah. Maximum floor area 700. I believe I said 900 earlier. So again, that was the biggest change in residential that there is. And because staff is split on it, I did want to make sure it was emphasized. I did have, I think in our open house, I did have one resident concerned about it. However, I've been emailed by several residents, several meaning probably four, that they're very much excited to see this. They lived in Minneapolis, it was allowed there, and it worked out great, or, you know, some anecdote like that. But, so, again, just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Trevor, this is Mike again.
Yeah.
Is there any, not having read this all the way through, is there any restriction as to the size of this building based on the size of the home?
Not based on the size of the home, but it is, we do have a maximum floor area of 700 square feet.
The reason I ask is because I have a place in Florence County, and they're very restrictive to buildings outside of the main building. I can only have a building outside that's 50% the floor area of the main building.
Okay.
I was just, and that's for stormwater.
Oh, okay.
Basically. And so in this case, I was just curious as to whether there's any kind of restriction that might somehow also control the stormwater off the second building.
We do. We actually have... Well, not specifically to the second building, but we have a lot coverage requirement, and I believe it's 50% lot coverage is allowed.
Okay, so would that, how can I ask this, would that preclude the ability to add an additional building if the house and parking and everything else were too big in the lot?
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of the smaller lots, you know, you might not be able to have this on there as well. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Signs, they mainly stayed the same, the requirements. The consultants did have identify some areas of the code where it was inconsistent with the Supreme Court decision from a couple years ago, Reed versus Town of Gilbert, which basically said that all signs need to be regulated based off of size and shape uniformly across the board and have nothing to do with the messaging. So they eliminated some of those small things that could have got us in trouble, I guess. But then they also inserted some graphics to aid on tables and graphics, just to aid in understanding what the text is trying to convey. And then the last thing I wanted to point out.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. For this, under the sign code, is it still not allowing billboards? I mean, that's just the
correct.
Same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, early on in the process, I informed the consultant that we spent like a year and a half going through our sign code recently. We didn't feel like changing it, and also billboards were brought up a couple of times, and it was pretty clear in those conversations that we wanted to continue not allowing billboards. So they were happy. They said the sign code's always a can of worms in of itself, so they were happy not to open that up. So one of the bigger changes has to do with building and site design. And again, this is primarily for commercial buildings. But this took into consideration what our intentions are and what our goals are and what our visions are, primarily for our commercial corridors. And so it has requirements for major facade and material and minor facade, and it has pictures identifying what's major and minor, what type of material can be used on each, and in what type of zoning district or type of building, how much can be used, so percentage of what side of the building or face of the building. Again, examples. And now this is, because we already had a question about this, a business owner wants to redo the facade of their building, and it doesn't exactly fit with some of these. Now, this would be something that would have to go through the Planning Commission and Village Board for approval, for a design exception. So if you recall earlier, I kind of laid out all those different processes. So if it did meet all of these, then for a new build, it would go through Planning Commission and be approved there and be good. If it was a small addition, it could just continue to be approved by staff, as long as it met these requirements. This will add quite a bit more staff time into the project, just making sure that they meet all these requirements. But I think the ultimate product is more along the lines of what we've been aiming for the past couple years and trying to accomplish through PDDs and that sort of thing. So again, spelling it out early on, the hope is it streamlines the process for the developer and saves them money that way. There might be added cost in the materials, but there's hopefully some savings in time. And hopefully that translates to money for them, savings in money. So, and then in the end, we still get what we desire. And again, they have a lot of pictures, a lot of examples of what they mean for the different zoning uses, how buildings can be sited, entrances, that sort of thing. Kind of just go through here. Again, building siting too, how it's laid out. So, and also with the building siting, For all these commercial uses, they want buildings setback, or have a, they removed a setback and replaced it with a build two line, which will position a building closer to the road, the primary road, which would meet a lot of the goals we have in our comprehensive plan, as well as our bike and ped plan, making businesses more pedestrian friendly, and that sort of thing. So, any questions? I know it's quite a bit. We've been going through this for quite some time. I think we started in 2018 with Duncan and Codometrics, but we have been talking about doing this project since I've been here, which is 7 years. I will say there's one more thing that we caught recently. And can you see my Word document here?
No.
No? Okay, let me... Now, can you?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So there was one section in there that really we were reviewing it as staff, and we just noticed that it was inconsistent. The reference was inconsistent. There's a page in chapter or section 2. It was inconsistent with a later reference. So if you guys did recommend approval, what the consultant recommended is just removing it and just having placing in a cross reference. And then also, it was just mobile storage units, but we added construction dumpsters to be included in that. So again, if the recommendation is to for the village board to approve it, I guess we'd be asking to approve it with this amendment. There will likely be other, we were told by the consultant, you can review it 100 times and you'll still probably find something like this. So, but this is the one we found.
Any further questions?
What was the number one like public comment or concern about the code?
Number one question was, how will this affect property values? We received that a couple times. Really told them it really won't for the average resident. I mean, it will allow better design buildings or better quality development along our primary streets, but for the normal residential user, it really won't. ADUs was kind of brought up a couple times, like I said. By four or five residents, different opinions on that. Let's see. Landscaping was one that I dove into with a resident. All positive stuff on that. She's a landscape architect by trade, so she's kind of getting into the weeds on some things. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty much it. You know what? I with zoning, it's not the most exciting thing, and I think I've been talking about it for the last 40 minutes, so I'm surprised y'all are still listening, but it's not the most exciting thing in a normal situation. I can kind of nerd out about it, but I know to the most people it's not. But then I think adding another layer on top of that of COVID, we really just haven't received much public input. Initially, I was going to have a like an open house, and do a separate Zoom meeting on that. I kind of wanted to see if I would get many questions first. But since we shared this draft, I believe in June, later part of June, I believe I received one email comment about it. So I think what I'll do is share it a couple more times or put it on our Facebook page and just try and get a little bit more comment before the public hearing. We did move
the public hearing, Trevor.
We did move that back. It was supposed to be next week. We moved it back to the 18th. So.
I wasn't at the last business, like the Alloy Business Association meeting. I don't remember if that happened. Brad probably knows that too. You were there, Trevor. But you guys, I know, I thought we're going to talk about it at the last one. Were there comments, if that meeting happened?
I did not attend either. However, I failed to tell President Rafter about it. I don't believe Brad was there either. I think he had a previous commitment, yeah. And I failed to mention it to President Rafter, and he was giving the spiel about it, so it didn't get brought up then.
Okay, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you saying that this not being exciting, it certainly is much more exciting than our old code was.
Mm.
You know, you get pictures, you get charts.
Yeah.
And I just think everything that they went through, and it just gives us so much more flexibility and direction. And it's going to simplify some things for the village and get us what we want. I'm a little concerned about the parking.
Well, it's not in stone yet. I mean, certainly can recommend changes. But yeah, I did have a conversation with a developer on this, and he was giving me a hard time. He's like, oh, you had to change the name of the districts and throw X's in there just to make it exciting.
New colors, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like to thank you for all your hard work and dedication, because I really think this is going to go a long way in modernizing it, bringing it up to today's standards. I know it's long overdue.
Well, thank you. Definitely a team effort. Brad and all the other departments reviewed this several times in their specific sections, but then we also had citizen members sit through several listening sessions. Heather and Penny are here, but I know, Matthew, you also helped us select, I think, the consultant that we ended up going with, so I appreciate that, though.
Was good on that committee.
Yes. And for those of you that don't know Mark, he's a longtime Alloway resident, but he also has worked in from the developer side of things before, and he's also on our Economic Development Committee, so... Penny, is there one thing on parking in particular that...
No, I just, you know, with some streets not having any parking on the street, just the congestion that could be caused if there's a... And, you know, we spoke about this, and you know it'll come up at the board meeting. You know, in those big complexes, and there's no place to park, and people have guests, and then they're on the street. Just congestion, but I don't know how you get around something like that, you know. We want more density here.
Yep.
And that's what comes with it.
So, Trevor, I have a question. You said there's a public hearing on this on the 18th of August?
Correct.
Is that going to be an in-person public meeting?
No, it'll be through Zoom.
Through Zoom?
Yep.
And the public hearing, it seems backwards to me. It seems like that should have been done before, but and maybe it was. But is this to get last comments from the public on this before the village board approves it?
Correct.
Okay. And so tonight, if the committee wants, you would like to have us recommend, make a motion to recommend to the village board to repeal and recreate Chapter 475 of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code, also referred to as the Zoning Code and Map, with the amendments, with your, were they your comments?
Yes.
With the, okay, so Trevor's comments and corrections that he presented this evening, which would probably be then patched or made a part of this. So I'll entertain a request for a motion to get this thing moving.
Can I just add a comment on what Penny was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think that it's better that we have, you know, less parking and smaller parking lots, because we are parking for the one, like the 100-year flood almost, that we're wasting a lot of community resources and covering a lot of impervious surface for something that, you know, five times a year, 10 times a year, there's cars in the street. We have to kind of get residents used to that, instead of having, you know, them thinking that the village is going to maintain parking on all the streets and then plow it and pave it and pay for all that when it's never really used for that. So it's just kind of a different mindset. We've got to.
Yeah, that's a good point, Becky.
Any other?
I'll move to recommend to the village board that we repeal the old code and
recreate.
I will move to whatever Mike said before.
I'll second that.
I can read good. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to repeal and recreate Chapter 475 of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code, also referred to as a zoning code and map, with the amendments that Trevor mentioned this evening. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Guys.
Did I hear opposed or not? Nope, I guess it's unanimous.
Well, thanks again, guys, and or everyone. And if you want to hear from the consultants, they'll be presenting to the board on the 18th.
So moving on to number 9, discussion regarding bicycle and pedestrian initiatives related to road projects. I assume, Trevor, again, this is something you have on the agenda, or is this an ongoing discussion?
It's kind of been an ongoing discussion. It was brought up, believe it or not, back in January. And since we've only met 3 times this year, we've kept it on the agenda. Becky, I believe, if you recall, I believe you brought it up in January. And I think what you're referring to is how we're incorporating bicycle and pedestrian facilities and plans from our bike and ped plan into road projects.
Yeah, I did bring it up, and it was that things like, I think it was St. Mary's maybe was rebuilt, mm-hmm. was just resurfaced this year, but because it wasn't a complete rebuild project, they didn't even look at the bicycle and pedestrian plan to put the sidewalks in, and I think that we need to really... that they aren't going to move forward if we don't make a concerted effort that, you know, the street's going to be, I think to a person in the village, repaving and reconstructing are almost as much inconvenience because they can't get in their driveway, you know. And so I think we really need to be adding the bicycle and pedestrian projects at every chance we get. and not waiting for major reconstruction, or things just aren't going to move forward. So that should be kind of a direction that we want to give to the engineers. You know, any chance you get, anything you're working on, really look at that plan and see what you can put into the project to make it better, and not waiting for a time when everything's going to be reconstructed.
And I like that idea. I did have a brief conversation with our public works director. And he does want to make a better effort on it. He, in our GIS project that we're doing, we're going to have a layer for proposed bicycle lanes or proposed sidewalks, so that when they're reviewing a street, it's kind of, they don't have to really cross-reference anything. It's just there. It's showing up there. So that was one change that he recommended that I think will be helpful. Because I think sometimes, and it's not intentional, but I think sometimes we all operate in our silos, and so things can be missed. So I think any chance we can have to have that, again, that reference point or something to go off of it, or like you said, Becky, just keeping the discussion going, it's beneficial. So I think if we keep this as a somewhat regular agenda item, we can make sure that we are continue to talk about it. If there's a specific recommendation in the future, I can always put it as an action item on a future agenda, and we can make a recommendation. Maybe what Becky was saying, consider putting sidewalks on all road projects, not just reconstruction projects. Maybe that's something to discuss as a future action item to the Village Board or Public Works Committee or something like that, but...
Sure, but this is actually kind of two issues, isn't it? I mean, the sidewalk issue is something that could basically go on any street. The bicycle issue is not necessarily the same. I mean, you're not going to want bicycle lanes on every street, basically.
Right.
The plan that I saw was a Brown County plan. Does this village have a separate plan that adds more streets for bicycle lanes?
We do.
Okay.
I actually had it up, or I put it up before the meeting.
Well, we don't have to look at it
okay.
Unless you want to, but yeah, I was just curious about that.
Yeah, so my computer, you know. So this is the map that we have in our plan. For proposed sidewalks, so proposed are the hashed, and then the existing are the solid. And this shows then again our neighboring communities what their proposed and existing are. But then this also shows bike lanes as well, proposed bike lanes. And bike routes. So bike lanes are what's shown in blue, and then again proposed is the dashed, and then bike routes are the red. And when this plan was adopted in 2017, what the committee, this ad hoc committee, was formed to kind of come up with this plan, and the intent was just to increase connectivity along the east-west streets, as well as the north-south streets, but we recognize that there's three primary north-south streets, and then there's a greater number of east-west streets, so kind of all those neighborhood streets that fall below the traffic warrants for a bike lane are shown just for bike routes, which is essentially signage and some paint on the roads. Bike routes. bike lanes, I think what Mike was getting at is you need a little bit more real estate, public right-of-way for bike lanes, typically. Not always, but typically.
So just to follow up, so there are some plans.
Yes.
So I'm a little bit confused from a standpoint of discussion with the Public Works Director, because if there's a plan and it shows a bike lane or whatever, isn't he required then to put it on the reconstruction or a new road?
So how we worded it in the plan was when a road is reconstructed, then we'll look at adding the facilities. And the thought then was for two reasons. There might be some efficiencies, both time and cost, for engineering and that sort of thing with adding a sidewalk then. But then also, kind of like what Becky was saying, that the road's torn up, and I understand what Becky's saying, it's torn up regardless in a resurfacing project too. So it's really, the thought at the time was, if it's torn up during a reconstruction project, it's just rather than inconvenience a resident twice or that sort of thing. But then I guess the third issue too is we do reconstruction projects every other year. And then we do a resurfacing project on the opposite years. And we do it that way because we have to bond every other year. And so every other year we bond quite a bit. And then on the opposite years, we're only paying like $500,000 or whatever it is to on-road projects. But so what our public works director at the time who has since retired, his thought too is it's easier to sell $100,000 worth of sidewalk when you're paying for a $2.5 million road work to be done, versus if on the opposite years when you're paying $500,000 to try and say, yeah, let's put in $100,000 worth of sidewalk. It's politically, it's I guess a little more challenging. Maybe it shouldn't be that way, but I guess that was the discussion from his point of view.
I just think that if we wait for reconstruction, it's just going to it's going to take so much longer to get anything done, because we try to avoid reconstruction in the village by resurfacing and keeping the streets in good condition. Mm-hmm. So basically the village is trying to avoid the condition where adding sidewalks would be part of the project. So that means that there's a lot of streets that we have planned for that they would never go in on, because they're just basically never going to be reconstructed, because we take good enough care of them that would never be necessary.
Probably the other side of the coin, though, too, is that a resurfacing project is a lot less political than saying you're going to put sidewalks down each side of the street. And most people are probably opposed to sidewalks, so I can see where he's coming from, but it's a good point that it should be looked at every time a project goes underway, whether it's a reconstruct or a repaving.
Yeah, but I do take issue with, I don't think that most residents, if you really talk to them, oppose sidewalks. I think that might have been true in the past, but I really think that we're having a different generation moving into the village, and I really think that most of the younger ones that I talk to are like, why don't we have more sidewalks, and why didn't they put them in? And the more we put in, the more call there's been for them. So I think we just need to, if we just make it a regular routine part of what we do as the village, then there's going to be a lot less political problems with it, that this is just the way it's done because it's the right thing to do it and necessary to attract younger residents and keep up the value of the homes.
Additional discussion?
Yeah, and again, if you guys have an action item on it in the future, we can keep it as a discussion item. But if someone wants a specific action item, I'll just change it.
Yeah, I think it was a good discussion, so I think we should keep it for the time being. Moving on, number 10. Further discussion, Fox River Trail connections and wayfinding.
Again, this is an item from January's meeting. Matthew, I believe you might have been the one that might have recommended this. I think it was kind of a similar discussion with Becky's thought.
Yeah, I think just as more and more projects come online with the village, just looking at ways of tying whatever we can down to the Fox River Trail, because obviously the Fox River Trail is one of the greatest assets that the Village of Alloway has. So just it being a discussion point anytime there's a development. And I think most developers are on board with doing that. It's just, I know there's sometimes limited access locations, and especially as we're trying to encourage families to really take advantage of the riverfront, you know, that should be a point of discussion at each with each development and just going forward.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I can share the figures, right, Becky, that Nikki shared the other night.
Did you have them in front of you? Because I don't have them here in front of me here.
I referenced them at the notes at my house, but we'll go for round numbers. Basically, we had the Friends of the Fox River Trail meeting the other night, and we were talking about how COVID has impacted trail usership. And Nikki is from Brown County Parks, and she had some counts done, do them on a regular basis. And 2019, in March, there's around 2,000 users. In March 2020, there's 12,000. In April of 2019, there was around 7,000 users. In April of 2020, there's 68,000 users.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are round numbers, but, you know, that's what they shared. And she said in April she thought there was something wrong with their counter. Went out there several times to try and see what was going on, but...
Yeah, and I think the majority of the counters are, I think that at one time they had them on both ends of Alloway, that the majority of the counts are done in the sections in Alloway, some in Green Bay and some in Jaffier, but I think that it's counted on both ends. I'm not, they move them, so I don't know for sure that that's where they still are.
But yeah, I think part of that's COVID, but I think also part of it's just, it's a well-used trail and really well-liked. And I think you're just going to continue to see that more and more.
That's so funny because my husband and I, last year we probably went on the Fox River Trail, I mean, at least once a week. We bike a lot. But this year we haven't went on it once because of the high traffic. We have been going and weaving up and down East River, you know, the East River Trail, because so much of it is underwater. So we'll go on the East River Trail and then come back up through the neighborhoods and then catch back down on the East River Trail. And then when it's closed, then we go back up through the neighborhoods. But we've been avoiding the Fox River Trail because there is so much more traffic. And people who, frankly, aren't responsible trail users, that it's frustrating when you are a regular trail user and you know how to use it responsibly and say, like, passing on the left or, you know, just trying to stay in, like, lanes. And people are, you can tell there's many, many, many new trail users this year, so.
That's funny you say that. That's, I mean, yeah, and I'm sure there's, you're not alone on that either.
I do want to put a plug in, though, for one thing that you did say, is because the state of Wisconsin suspended collecting trail pass fees, and they stopped giving out the daily pass because it was paper and pens and because the possibility of contamination, that the amount of the trail passes sold is way down, and all of the other park revenue is way down, and they are running at 50% of the trail rangers that they've had in the past, and that's maybe why you don't see it as well taken care of this year as it was in the past or any of the Borough Fund parks, because their revenue, the park department is almost 100% supported by revenue generated, and the only thing that is up is boat launch fees. Otherwise, every other fee that they collect is way down. They aren't renting park pavilions. They aren't, they aren't running the adventure park. They aren't collecting it. And so that if you don't haven't bought a pass, you can buy it online through the park department, and you really should, just to help support and take care of the trail.
Yeah, and I believe you can buy those at the Village Hall, right, Brad? Not in, yes.
Anything else? Number 11, other discussion, annual site tour.
Yeah, so every year we do the site tour. And this year, I think Heather brought it up, but bring it up to the committee if we want to do it again this year with everything going on. I think in the past we've carpooled or biked or something, but I think this year if we did do it, we'd just everyone drive themselves and stay outside. We wouldn't go inside developments, I'm guessing. Last year we got to do a tour of an apartment and that sort of thing, but I wanted to leave it up to the committee how comfortable everyone is, if we should have it or not. There's certainly projects that we can explore, but...
Oh, sorry, Trevor.
No,
I'm trying to think what there is to see this year.
We all said we were going to go to Zambaldi and get beer.
We couldn't go to Zambaldi's last... We did go, but it was just rainy, remember?
Yep.
Yeah. The daycare, that'll be, probably kind of up. I haven't driven past it now in a couple weeks, but I know they had broken ground a few weeks ago, or maybe it was like a month ago already.
Yeah.
So I don't know what properties would all be on the list at this point. When I had mentioned it to Trevor, I said, I don't know what places that we would go see, but, I don't know if people would be willing to do, virtual tours, if they could, walk us around with a camera. I don't know. And I guess, we have to figure out what the properties would be first, I guess.
Well, those are two good ones that we mentioned, with Maldives and daycare. But I can't think of... Seems like we have a half a year that went nowhere.
Yeah.
What time of year did you make the tour?
Usually in August or September. Okay. We tried to pick a cooler,
Yeah, maybe we should leave this on the agenda until, assume we have a meeting in August and make a decision then. It's probably something we could do at the last minute.
Okay.
For September.
Okay.
We could go down on a trail and watch the people go by.
Count them.
Well, that was...
Count them.
That was kind of actually something I had in mind, because we do have some projects, but kind of piggying back on the previous two discussion items, are there roads that are going to be reconstructed or something like that that... Like, Libel, I think, is slated for 24. And so, are there roads that we should be looking at to see if there's, any specific areas that need improvement or that sort of thing? I don't know, that was just a thought. But we can...
If you were referencing specifically the bicycle and pedestrian aspect of a project, I know that the road behind St. Matthew's School on Beaumont Street, mm-hmm. I don't know if that is, it's near my house and I do not cut over there from Webster because I take the suspension out of my car. But that one is in the plan for a sidewalk, so I don't know if that's coming up soon or not.
It is, and I've actually emailed today our public works director on that. I haven't talked to him about it yet, so I can bring that up at the next meeting.
Trevor, do you know when St. Mary's is going to be done?
Brad, I believe you could probably speak on that a little bit more.
I believe it's, they'll do the final pavement on the one side this year, and then they'll finish the street next year, if I'm mistaken.
Because they're almost done, but then they just stopped.
Yeah, they have to come back and do
the lining?
The lining of the sewer line, and then some laterals, and then the final pavement.
Yeah, the final coat.
There was something with the bidding, right, Brad?
Yeah, initially we were trying to bid the sewer lining with the City of Green Bay, joining some of their projects. Green Bay didn't get any bids, so then we had to go out on our own. We just opened those bids a week or so ago.
Okay. So before the year's out, this side of this half will be done?
Yes.
Trevor, back to the tour, those condominiums across from the prison, were they built last year? I mean, they were partial. That might be something
And
to look at.
They actually added the trail connection this summer.
The Abbey entrance on Webster and across from Fairview. So I live on Fairview, and that's been recently redone. Was that just paid for by the Abbey, that project that was there? Because there was like a median reconstruction on Webster. And which, frankly, should have happened a long time ago, because that was like a crazy intersection to have those Fairview and then the Abbey entrance like not line up. That was so many people were making U-turns there, and it was like, what's going on? But so now that they're lined up, that's really good.
I didn't even notice that yet.
Yeah, they.
Because the Abbey's been closed down.
That's a confusing part of Webster, because Webster in the village is a county road. Webster in the pier is, they locally maintain it. And that section of Webster from, I'd say it's right around Fairview, right, Brad?
It's the Abbey property is the pier,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But like Fairview on my side is Alloway, but
right.
The second you cross the street, it's De Pere.
So I'm curious who maintains that segment if De Pere's local control starts where they control both sides, south of LeBrun, or if it's at Fairview.
Question.
Yeah. Anyway, whoever did that would have been through the county, but. Or paid for by the Norbertines.
Well, that was a good project for all us residents on Fairview.
Well, if you're happy about it, then we can take credit for it.
Yes, it was excellent.
Anything else? Then we'll move on to 12. Village projects and properties update.
I'll just go through these really quick. We have Old River Condominiums. They're continuing to construct them. I think they've completed working on the ninth one of 15 units. Chapel Hill, the apartments, their building's finally fully occupied. And they were just working on the sidewalk connection and the final landscaping. So that's been a long project. Here are my Sunshine Daycare on Derby and Webster. They're still looking at opening in October. The back portion of that lot will likely come to us in August for a rezoning under the new NX. They'll be seeking NX classification, so multifamily. The credit union broke ground last week, and that's just adjacent to Zambaldi. And then the last one is not a development item, but something that Brad and I have begun to work on is 2023. We'll be working on our, looking at adopting our, a new comprehensive plan. So it's been 20 years since our original one was adopted, and we're allowed to kind of make modifications to it in the meantime, which we have. But every 20 years, you should write a new one. So we're going to begin discussions on that and what approach to take on that. But
that's interesting. Hopefully, our new zoning and our comprehensive plan will now line up.
Yeah. So, I'll keep you updated on that one.
Anything else? Questions? If not, moving on. 13, updates from village departments.
All right. Three quick updates here. The Historic Preservation Committee for a couple years has been working on nominating the Robinson Hill Historic District, which is the group of homes on Derby area between Derby and Webster, or Webster and Riverside. That's finally getting to the state in August to be reviewed. I'm told once it gets to that level, it's almost a sure thing. And then from there, it has to be reviewed by the National Park Service within 90 days. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have another historic district in the village. And we have the neighborhood meeting actually tomorrow night on that. Parks department at Optimist Park at the end of Lazar and in Green Avenue. The parks are putting in two kayak launches that were almost 100% funded. I think they had to pay like $700 out of like a 30-something thousand-dollar project, so good. And then pickleball courts are completed or almost completed in Kiwanis Park. And then for public works, they're beginning to look at engineers for designing 2021 road projects. And again, that year is the reconstruction year, so that's a lot larger projects. So we can talk about next month what road projects are included in that. And then they're wrapping up on all the rehab projects this year, with the exception of Donna Street, which is St. Mary's. So.
Questions? Hearing none, next meeting date and any future agenda items?
Next meeting date is that fourth week of August. The 24th?
24th, yep. 24th at 6, same time. Same place?
More than likely. And then,
looking for agenda items that maybe aren't obvious?
Hopefully by then we'll have completed the zoning code, but we'll have a that rezoning petition that I mentioned for behind the daycare. And then the site tour as well. But then how regular would you want the items like 9 and 10 brought back?
From my perspective, they could stay there for the time being.
Okay.
I mean, unless somebody is opposed to it. If we don't have anything, we'll just pass by it.
Okay.
Anything anybody else has that they'd like to get on the agenda? If not, then I guess a motion to adjourn is in order.
I'll move to adjourn.
Heather, do we have a second?
A second.
Donna? All right, great, thank you. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Super. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for taking the chair position.
We'll see how long that lasts.
At least a year.
Have a good evening.
All right, have a good night.
You